Welcome to the Too Rich to Miss podcast with your host, Mr. Too Rich, your Southern urban voice. A place where relevant, rich conversations are had with professionals, providing insight to innovative solutions that will help you move your business, career, and life to the next level. Here's your host. The Too Rich to Miss podcast. And here's what I'm kind of thinking about now, and especially with what's going on with the economy and everything overall. Mm-hmm. You know, there's definitely the opportunity to be to really slide in on some of these things at the ground floor. Mm-hmm. You know, and especially with the infancy of the cryptocurrency market.
Okay.
You know, because like I said, we are in the dial-up stage right now. You know, so and the reason why, you know, I continuously want to go down the DYOR road, the do your own research road, is to remind people that the gems that you pick up now, you know, I mean, we're only in the billions right now. And once these markets get into the trillions, all of us that were holding Bitcoin now at 11,000, 12,000, when that thing go up to 250,000, that has been holding on since 10.
Yeah, it's true. This is true.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, Ethereum, with everything that they're using built on top of it, when Ethereum goes back over $1,000 and is at 400 right now, 423, you know what I'm saying? And some people are speculating that can go up to $10,000 coin. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, but if you think, but once again, I go back and try to put common sense on it. When you look at a chart, Ethereum is like here, right? And the basis of all of decentralized finance is like built on top of Ethereum. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Ethereum has so much, it's so woven.
It's so rich. It is.
It's so in the decentralized finance space, and I just don't see no way that Ethereum will ever just be totally killed, as people say. You know, just like you said, there'll always be somebody better. There'll be somebody that comes up and does it better, but it's so much sitting on top of it. You know what I mean?
Right. Just like you said with the internet, we knew. It had so much substance to it that it couldn't be ignored. You know, only thing that's going to happen is somebody is going to make it better. We knew that. You know what I mean? And then somebody's going to make it even better than that. And somebody's going to make it better than that. And it's just going to go on and on and on.
And
you know what I mean?
And here's the good part about what you just said is now this go around as this particular part of the market starts to mature, you do have the opportunity to be able to invest in the companies that are going to do it better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what
the ones that's on target. Yeah. The ones that's on target to doing it better, right?
Yeah. That was the whole point in the VeChain conversation and the object conversation. Right. You know what I'm saying?
And basically that's what a blockchain does anyway. I mean, we're using the same concepts, you know. It's visual. You know what I mean? Everybody can see it. So if there's any mistakes or any flaws, everybody saw that too. If there's a crook, everybody saw him too. You know what I mean? So, I mean, the whole process itself just, I mean, pretty much lets everybody know so the finger can be pointed a lot easier when there's something that doesn't look right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's why this right here, I mean, just networks alone, you know, being able to tie it in at the speed that we're actually being able to tie it in at, you know. Mm-hmm. Everybody talk about, you know, the 5G and things like that. I mean, that's one of the ways that they're going to be able to make this information move mm-hmm. through network is to have the 5G networks. You know what I mean? It's just amazing on how technology has moved forward. You know, as we think about it, we remember dial-up, but it's a lot of your audience, a lot of your audience that may be listening may not even have heard of dial-up.
Right, I know, right?
The telephone line. What,
yeah,
telephone?
Exactly, yeah.
What is a telephone?
They said, hey, yeah, they're probably sitting there thinking, oh, you used to plug your phone into the that when you would dial it up to your phone? No.
Yeah. I mean, this is crazy when you look at how technology moves things. Look, I remember when we had, remember when we created our first cassette. We created our first cassette tape. And I was over at my cousin's house in Richmond, and I wanted to play it. I wanted to play the cassette for him, you know, while he was there.
Right.
So then he, you know, looked at the tape and he was like, he told his daughter, he said, Tiana, go down and get me that tape player that's down there in the basement, you know? And she was like, a what? He said, a cassette tape player. She was like, Daddy, I don't know what you're talking about. Here I am, you know, singing, dancing, producing, and all of that, thinking that we've got the top notch stuff on the market that's getting ready to go boom. Mm-hmm. And I got a young crowd that don't even know how they're going to even listen to it. She didn't know what a cassette tape was. Like, what is that, Daddy? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's the same thing, same grounds that we're looking at now. You know, it's just. Man,
I mean, this is true. I mean, some of these kids right now don't even know what a CD is.
Oh, absolutely. We've grown past that. Definitely grown past CD.
You know, some of these kids are not going to know what a doggone iPod was.
Oh, absolutely.
It's crazy. I mean,
and if you blink, you miss it when it transitioned, you know? Mm-hmm. Because when iPod, things like that came along, I always thought that Apple they robbed us. Mm-hmm. Because we was in a state at that point to be able to do music like we wanted to do music. Mm-hmm. You could go to LimeWire back then, remember, and find any song that you wanted to and download it onto your computer. And then you could just drop it onto your MP3 player.
Yep.
Quick and easy, free. Yep. You know what I mean? I had like 3,000-4,000 songs on my MP3 player.
you know what I mean?
And now you don't hear of an MP3 player. Apple came along and said, we're going to make an iPod, and we're going to make sure that everybody downloads iTunes in order to get the music. And then you can only put your iPod on only one computer so we can kind of track and trace everything that's being transferred. You know what I mean? So it's like they stole that technology and now making us pay for it. You know what I mean? Just like years ago, you know, those things that you could do that were free. Now there's a market, you know, and a market for it and a market price, man. It's amazing how things change.
Yep,
everything becomes a dollar amount, you know, and just the opposite. Some things that, you know, we looked at as a value, cost a lot of money, eventually became free. You know what I mean? We can look at stuff, you know what I mean? Like, can you imagine, like what we're doing right now using Zoom?
Yep.
You know what I mean? If we would have tried to do this years ago, we would have had to pay a premium be able to share video back and forth with each other. Now we're talking about you can get on Zoom or you can open up a YouTube account and all like that and share your videos for free. What? Oh,
Oh yeah. I mean, this in itself, man, just with how we can just have our literal own TV. This is our own TV channels for real with our own stuff.
Oh.
I mean, at least like I said, man, without going into detail, I'll just speak for myself. There were times when World Star was happening in Norfolk before there was World Star.
There was World by Storm.
Oh, yes, Lord, it definitely was. It was World by Storm.
It was World by Storm.
Yes, Lord. And man, look, and just like, I forget who said it, but after the party was the after party, and after the party was the...
the hotel lobby.
And then, it was happening back then. So, I mean, all of the stuff that they are monetizing right now, you know what I'm saying? This is stuff that I was like, oh man, I was like, ooh, yeah, I remember. I mean, like Freakneek.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's really interesting. How things have progressed and changed, and just like I said, just on the cusp of missing it. At this particular time, the content really is king right about now.
It really is
king right now, and it's opened up a major door. And I remember what I was going to say before. I've noticed in the analytics when looking at this stuff, and the reason why I was saying think locally, act globally, is, I mean, shoot, man, I got hits in Australia. Mm-hmm. I got downloads in South Africa. I got downloads in North Africa. I got downloads in all parts of Europe.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, in addition to in the States.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, from a listener standpoint, even though on a small level, these conversations, touch people worldwide.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, so that's another reason why I'm like, I want to make sure, that I do go through and remind people that, to follow me on Twitter and check out the podcast and go to the channel, because people worldwide are catching it.
Even
with my voiceover, although there have been a lot of smaller projects, I've worked with a lot of people around the world. That's a trip. When I pull up my map, I got projects dotted all around the globe. So I'm not, and we know my voice is very distinct.
It's hard to
forget.
We knew that from Talk to Me, Baby. We knew that from way back then, Rich. Early '90s? What was that? Early '90s?
That was, matter of fact, I can tell you exactly what that was, man. Oh, man. That was 93.
Was it? Okay. It was like Club Hurricanes, Hampton, Virginia.
Oh, my God, man.
Talk to me, baby.
Oh, man, look, yo.
I'm listening.
Oh, man, look, that was, man, yo. I mean, because do you know that I was still able to get back into those clubs even after that?
Right, right. Exactly.
I mean,
you weren't even old enough to even get it.
No, I was, because, because see, fun fact.
We had to get a pass just to get you in.
But after y'all got me in and I got to be halfway cool with some of the folks, I was able to come back. Let's see, me and what's his name, oh, well, I ain't just going to say Jock, because ain't nobody else going to know who that is. Right, but me and Jock, me and Jock were going back to them clubs back then.
Right.
And it was easy. It was just like, oh, what's y'all? Oh, okay, cool. You know, go on. Oh my goodness, man. Oh my God, yeah.
Memories, but, I tell you.
Yeah, man, look, that was, you know.
Hey, it's been a while, boy. It's been a while.
It has. So to be on this side of it, you know, and to be on this side of it and to be able to kick back and give, you know, and to and to give some people some game, you know, on this stuff is a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely, man. definitely proud of you, man, for just looking at your talents, looking at your gifts, man, and continuing on with it, you know? A lot of people don't really, they don't know what their talents are, you know what I mean? And they don't really pursue even the aspect of trying to figure out what their talents are, you know what I mean? We get so bogged down and stuck with, you know, doing a job because we have to, you know, because we got to make money, you know. And most of us, we die without ever accomplishing any dreams of ours or pursuing any dreams of ours, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one thing, you know, me and you talked about several times before. You know, everybody doesn't have the entrepreneurial goal. You know, everybody don't want to even put the effort in trying to be the richest person on earth, or you know what I mean? Everybody doesn't go that route, you know what I mean? So some people's idea of success is just mastering their skill on a job and continuing to go up the ladder within their job, you know? And that's one of the things that, I mean, you talk about several times, that normal person, the average person, the little guy.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
And at the end of the day, you know, it's okay. You know?
Yeah, it's okay. You know what I mean?
And it's honorable. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's one of the hope ones as well of these conversations, you know, because, you know, because as I really take an honest look back on some things, you know, getting to a wealthy place in life is really just a set of strategic steps.
Yeah.
That you will get there irregardless.
Right.
I mean, just real set, just to be quite simply with it. Mm-hmm. And think about this. No matter what income level you're at, right? Mm-hmm. If you always simply live beneath your means, save something consistently, eventually you will end up in a wealthy place, barring you do something extremely crazy and just totally screw it up. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Of course, there's going to be life's ups and downs and all of that. But even in the midst of life's ebbs and flows, if you constantly live beneath your means and constantly pay yourself first. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You can build it. You can build on that.
You can build on that, whether no matter where you're at, you know, and then everything else is just all on the individual.
Right.
You know what
and
I'm
then,
saying?
You know, to some people, you would think, you know, that would be the definition of success for a lot of people anyway, is to not have the stress of needing to pay the basics. You know what I mean? It, you know, those times where, you know, hey, man, the light bill is due, the cable bill is due, and I don't have the money. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I want to, I need to get groceries for the family, but I got to, like, take away from something else. You know what I mean? I got to ask my rent lady, can I pay a couple of weeks late just so
right.
I can, you know what I mean? So I can have the money on this end of it. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things. And some people, if they can get past that point and they're able to save some money, you know, like I said, my dad, he wasn't an educated man at all, but he always had a stash. You know what I mean? He could say he was successful in his own right because he worked continuously, you know, all his life, and he was able to say, hey, I don't owe anybody anything right now. I'm caught up on everything that I owe. You know what I mean? I don't have a late car payment. I don't have a late house bill. I don't have a late, you know, electric bill, you know, things like that. And to some people, that's the success that they're actually looking for. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it's hard when you're behind and when you're late. It's tough.
That's a fact.
You know what I mean? I can remember when you mentioned Jock. I remember Jock used to run the extension cord all the way outside of the apartment into somebody else's outdoor socket and get electricity in his whole apartment.
Yeah, you remember that? Yeah.
And inside, he was running so much voltage. It had to have risen the electric bill of the whole apartment complex. I mean, you're running the ASRT, you're running PV speakers.
And this is not even, look, we're not even talking about the time, you know, when meters just mysteriously, I don't know what happened, they just... You know, meters just somehow just appeared, you know what I'm saying? They just appeared, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, and then when all of that disappeared and got down to the doggone wires, you know, it, you know, somebody, you know, somebody almost electrocuted themselves trying to put all of the guts.
These were the struggles, bro. These were the struggles, you know? Hey, nobody mad at nobody, you know what I mean? These are the things that seem to be necessities of life that we had to make sure we get to the next level by conquering this one thing first. It might be. We need electricity for today. Now, if we get electricity for the day, we can put this instrumental out or something, and then I can make some money so I can pay the electricity. Right now, we need electricity today.
Today, exactly. You know, but yeah, it's but you know, but at the end of the day, man, the whole point of all of that, man, is you got to be able to have this stick-to-itiveness of got to make it happen no matter what.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite words. It's so strange you say that. I used to have that on my wall when I was a lieutenant in corrections in my office. That was the biggest thing across my wall, my board, was stick-to-itiveness, you know? Yeah, and I used to laugh because people would come in and try to say the word and try to pronounce it exactly where it was and mess it all up.
Yeah.
I love that word, stick-to-itiveness.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because at the end of the day, man, it's never going to end up like you thought it was.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, nothing ever is. Nothing ever is.
You just gotta keep moving. You gotta keep moving
and deal. Mm-hmm. You gotta deal with it and keep pushing.
And that's
definitely one of the things that I encourage the young folks to try to do. You know, the future that's all. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I tend to have a slightly. My audience tends to be right in our age range, actually. But which is cool. You know, and that's one of the reasons why I thought about it. And I said, you know what? Let me start to make some more. You know, some things that are a little bit more informative. You know what I'm saying? And just some things that people to think commonly about some of this stuff. Most of this stuff is just common sense. You know what I'm saying? It's just an evolution of what already was. You know what I'm saying? And if people take the time to not be so intimidated by the initial difference and terms and you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they kind of sit back and be like, okay, hold on. Oh, that's just a great big database.
Okay.
So you're going to have multiple databases doing multiple stuff so the whole thing moves faster. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's departments.
You
know,
compartmentalizing and all. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? When you start to step back and, you know what I'm saying, and give people a little bit basic, they can be like, okay. That makes sense. Okay. Well, that sounds like some bullshit. That makes sense. That's not right. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because at this time, it's definitely some good possibilities floating around. And as people are digging around, and everybody has their goals for what they want to do, and what they're trying to get to. If somebody's goal might be to make sure that they don't lose all their money to fees in the bank or something. Some people, might want to not just buy gold and silver. They might want to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, it's just about putting something out there to help people out.
Absolutely. Alternatives. Because when people think of stock, the first thing they're going to think is, okay, I need to buy into Amazon. I need to buy into Walmart. I need to buy into Microsoft. They start thinking about the different companies to buy into. The average mind doesn't go to cryptocurrencies. You know what I mean? It's like,
exactly.
What?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? A lot of people don't, they're not going to think of going that route because it's not highly advertised.
That's a fact.
But the information is there. It's in the background of everything that we do now. And it's on the come up. And it's really going to make a big difference in how we communicate everything. I'm talking everything. Everything will be on a block eventually. Everything is just too big.
Oh yes lord. I mean, and it's growing by leaps and bounds, because see, here's something intriguing right here. Just kind of going right down the line on what we're talking about. Let me share this on the screen right quick. Let's see here. This company right here. Can you see that by chance?
Grayscale.
All right. Now, this company right here, they have a Bitcoin trust.
Mm-hmm.
In layman's terms, they pretty much hold Bitcoin for people who don't want to go through and do all of the processes of holding it themselves.
Okay.
They have, I'm trying to see if they actually have how much they bought. They've bought about $250 million worth of Bitcoin, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they just did a nationwide ad.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to see if they had the little stuff up here. So we could actually see, because this is insane.
Mm-hmm.
As far as their holdings, because they've been buying up more Bitcoin that's being produced. I mean, so this company here, and companies like it, they're making it easier for old money to get into the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And as old money start to get into the game and start to realize, wait a minute, there's actually something serious to this.
Mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? And there's this great big company. They buying it up like it ain't no tomorrow. They just ran a nationwide ad campaign. Mm-hmm. To get more money, and there was an article about it that I could not find, because they're killing it right now over there.
We
can even go and talk about Cash App. Cash App's revenue has went doggone parabolic since they just started offering Bitcoin available through Cash App.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I was trying to see if I can find that article right quick. Oh, here we go. Here's one of them. Square Cash App Bitcoin revenue surges 600% in Q2.
Wow.
And all they did was just make it available. You see where this is going?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, so this is, it's unavoidable. At this particular point. And then, of course, one of the most favorite articles that everybody in the Bitcoin community is talking about, in the cryptocurrency community is talking about right now.
Warren.
Warren. He bought stock in this gold company. Mm-hmm. And he dumped all of his holdings, or as has been reported, that he dumped all of his holdings in bank stocks. So any positions that he had in banks, he got rid of those, and he bought into this mm-hmm. This gold mining company. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying, this just the stuff that I look at, you know.
Who you gonna follow?
Exactly. You know, and this isn't even, you know, we're not gonna even talk about and I spelled it right. Quantitative easing. Let's see, we're not gonna even talk about that was a real good article that showed how much money that they've injected into the stock market.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. I explained it to somebody I was talking to like this. Think about this. This is what the stock market is right now. The stock market is that kid, that spoiled child that goes out, runs up all their credit cards, comes back home to their rich dad and says, "Hey, my credit cards are maxed out." Mm-hmm. And the rich dad says, "You know what? All right, man. Matter of fact, I'm gonna pay it off, and I'll just triple your limit.
Yeah, I increase the limits, right?
I'm gonna pay it off and increase the limit,
right?
And the child goes out and does this again and again and again and again.
Oh yeah,
and again. Now, eventually, any parent is gonna be like, you know what? I'm sick of this shit.
Yeah.
You know, I've been sitting. I'm sick of holding your ass up all this. You fucking me up. You know, I mean, you draining the doggone pot. Well, this is what the stock market is right now. The stock market is being propped up by the Federal Reserve. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. And when I start to think about, and when I see articles talking about they're buying up junk bonds, which means they're buying the corporate debt, in addition to, you know, all of the money that they've gotten through stimulus that they shouldn't have gotten. I mean, let's keep it real. And we know where most of the money went. You know, some people just kept their mouth shut.
Absolutely. A lot of them are still keeping their mouth shut. Some companies felt a guilt. Mm-hmm. You know, a guilt trip, and then they raised their hand and said, "You know what? I shouldn't be doing this, so I'm gonna try to get this all back." You know what I mean? Well, that's more of a social responsibility they felt to their people, to their clients. You know what I mean? Let's show them that we really care and we shouldn't use any of this money. You know, some of it could be employed as well, but.
Oh yeah. I mean, and you know, so the thing that I said all that to say is, what happens when the father that is the Fed gets tired of propping up the stock market, and everybody realizes that the emperor has no clothes? Because let's think about this now. Stock market is going up. Right? Mm-hmm. They got propped up. Now, when I go out and look around, I see restaurants operating at half of the capacity or less.
True. Yeah.
And
yeah,
I go out, I see some places not even open at all.
True.
And I'm seeing, because we sell stuff online, we sell more stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what I'm saying? True. You know, I mean, nothing big, but still, you know what I'm saying? There's definitely an uptick in in people buying stuff online. And it's no secret that there's still more unemployed people than there is jobs available. That's just a fact. Mm-hmm. You know, because so many businesses aren't around. And so I said all of that to say, how, pray tell, are these businesses going to be showing in numbers?
You can't
be making the sales. It's impossible.
Right.
You know, your numbers are going to reflect what's been happening. I mean, all you can do is just show you got a strong balance sheet, but if there ain't no sales coming in.
True.
You know what I'm saying? People are going to, the perception of the market is going to change, and I just think it's going to crash.
Yeah. At some point, you're dumping your own money back into it, and you're also getting help from the Federal Reserve, like you're saying, to basically show up. Better picture of your company, because you know there's only a few companies actually that benefited and profited from this, and usually those go back to the necessities, the basic needs. You know, Walmart actually was one that benefited in a situation like this. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to be, you know, saying that we benefit from a pandemic, but at the same time, it's one of those necessities. It's the things that everybody got to have. So, yep. I mean, food and everything else continues to go off the shelf.
I mean, and because let's just face it, we just can't deny that Walmart is huge. I mean, it is. Walmart, Target, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. they're gonna squeeze out the mom and pops by default.
Yeah, and they were built for this by putting so many in a mm-hmm. you know, when they look at their geographic areas and look at the census and things like that in the areas, and they'll put another one over here, another one over there. You know, they strategically put them in areas that they know that they was going to make their money.
And
now you have other companies that are looking at the same thing. You know, you look at Dollar General. I think we had talked about that once before. They're strategically saying, okay, between the Walmarts, we're going to put a smaller store just in case people want to drive to the Walmart. You know what I mean? Yep, so we're going to get in the middle of all of this.
And,
that's right. You know, Aldi and what's that other one we had talked about? Lidl. Lidl.
However you pronounce it.
You know what I mean? But they're another ones who, you know, strategically saying, hey, we can get a piece of this. We know that, you know, groceries is one of those things that everybody is going to feel that they have to have when any type of a crisis situation that arises. You know, if it's going to be a hurricane in the area, hey, we got to get to a grocery store. If it's going to be an earthquake, hey, we got to get to the grocery store. If it's going to be rain, we got to get to the grocery store. You know, pandemic, oh, we definitely got to get to the grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, it's one of those things that we feel like we have to have. And then another thing that's actually have arisen over the years is the online shopping. Years ago, we didn't have all of this, you know.
Well, I mean, Amazon just is killing it.
Amazon is killing it.
I mean, and when they went through and bought Whole Foods, I was like, oh, I mean, that was a solid move.
Yeah.
And that was a real solid move. But I guess in the whole, and another one of the points that I kind of want to make kind of right here is just being able to pivot.
Yeah.
You know, and just being able to think, because that's pretty much what these companies have done. They were thinking, you know what I'm saying? They were thinking and positioning themselves. And that's kind of what I've always been saying about this from the beginning. You know, we control what you can control. Step back and look at what opportunities are out there. You know, I mean, you might not be able to do, you might can't change the world, but you can probably change your own world.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Having that vision and having the patience that can allow their vision to come to fruition. You know what I mean? That's what majority of us usually don't have. You know, we want it instantaneous. We want it like right now. You know what I mean? If I put, you know, my wife talked to me about, you know, what I invest in, you know, I'll go ahead and say it. I use M1 Finance, but it's not something I'm, you know, affiliated with right now at all. But using M1 Finance, you know, my wife will look at it like, okay, so how much money are you making? It's not like that. You know what I mean? It's like, she wants, you know what I mean? If you put in money like yesterday,
she want to see that shit go up.
Yeah, you're right. She want it. Hey, it better be going up. You know what I mean? We just put our money in it, you know. But it's
Oh my God, look. I was about to say she need to invest in crypto. I mean,
she does.
Crypto has some very wild swings. I mean, you get a 10% pop in a day is nothing. That's just what it is. That's normal. But on the same token, you can get a 10% drop, 20% drop. You know what I'm saying? But
I'm actually going to take your advice on that, and I'm going to actually get her involved in some of that so she can see numbers actually being moved, because that motivates people a lot. You know what I mean? That motivates people. They can see it. And not saying, oh, I got to wait, you know, 5-10 years before I'm really seeing anything change in this. She want a daily change. You know what I mean? Yeah. Are you day trading or what? Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing. And honestly, and although, you know, and one of the other things that I definitely want to constantly put out here and miss it as well, you know, first and foremost, time in the market beats timing the market, or trying to time the market.
In all cases.
I mean, dollar cost averaging is very boring.
Yeah.
You know, you are not, just keeping it a buck, you're not going to always see a major swing and all that right now. It's a long game. Sure. True. If you really get out here and do your research, you know, and you really want to speculate, you know, and there's money out there that you can afford to lose, you know, and you want to go after some of these low cap things just for the sake of, but then once again, that's getting to be a little bit more, you know, speculative, on the speculative side, you know, and people can do that. But for the most part, I'm dollar cost average.
Right.
You know, I dollar cost average in, you know, and just kind of, you know, and find the projects that I like and just kind of keep feeding them. And you'll get one that's going to pop, you know. Mm-hmm. Like now we're about to really, the bull market hasn't really started according to what they say, just kind of based on, you know, what the other traders and all those people are saying, looking at charts and all that. But looking at the numbers rising up, numbers ain't did no real, everything hasn't really popped off for real.
We will see some changes. I mean, you know, fiscal year starts in October, so you will see some things. You will see some movement. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Some are going to go all the way out, and some are going to jump. People are just going to take their money and move it into what they feel is the biggest, you know, trend for right now. So all of the heavy trend stocks, that's what everybody going to look to do. You know what I mean? And more often than years before, a lot of people are looking for short term now. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They're afraid of the long term. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The uncertainty over the course of years is like, you don't know whether you're dealing with a system that's actually going to take your money and you lose out. You know what I mean? People looking for short-term gains, and then they'll transfer it into something that's as safe as possible when they've gained.
And this is true. And honestly, this is the thing that's so attractive, that what makes cryptocurrency so attractive right now. When people really step back and take a look at it and look at the fact that as a whole, the whole cryptocurrency market cap is less than $400 billion.
Right.
Overall. You know what I'm saying? All the coins combined is less than $400 billion. I think he's like 380 something or whatever. So we are talking about a market that's small when you compare to gold.
Right.
Gold is a $10 trillion market cap, I believe. Well, 11, 10, 11 trillion. And Bitcoin is digital gold. That is this, that's digital gold. That's what that is. So if you compare just Bitcoin by itself is only like 200 and some billion, just off the top of my head without looking at it.
Right.
And if that goes to just a trillion, you know what I'm saying? That's five times the value of what it is right now. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Just one. I mean, you see what I'm saying?
And, yeah.
And we got to think about where we're going with the people.
Right.
Think about your kids or my kids. You know that it. I try to talk to them about investing, and you know it just doesn't. They still don't get it. But besides
that, right.
When they do start to get it, are they going to prefer a gold mining stock, or are they going to?
It'll be technology.
One and mean, you know what I'm saying, or you know what I'm saying, or whatever is the, you know, the hottest coin with the most potential at the time, the Amazon of the time, or you know,
right? Yeah, it'll be something that's related to a technology type of stock.
You know? Exactly. So you know, so we even have another generation that's going to prefer it, not only because it's there, it's in their generation of their thing, but also because it's going to be making the money. You know, I mean, it's widely known and can be looked up that Bitcoin is the best performing asset class here in the last 10 years.
Right. And then we got to look at what the future is on this. Because right now, I mean, and what we know about money, about what we know about the Federal Reserves, we know that every dollar is backed by gold. You know what I mean? It's backed by gold now.
Is it really?
Yes, it is. Every dollar that the U.S. Mint prints out, we have to back it by gold. That's what actually keeps the value of it. We have to back it.
It's up for speculation because some would say that we were taken off of the gold standard back in, hold on, let me pull it up. There's an article for this. Some would say that we were taken off of the gold standard back in 73. Hold on. Let's see if I can just find it. Is money backed by gold? Because there was an article that that gave a real good.
Not redeemable by gold, silver.
Yep. So and receive no backing by anything. So this is what people were talking.
Don't believe it.
but here's the thing, because what the general consensus is that our paper fiat money is backed by the quote unquote full faith of the federal government, right?
Yeah.
That my thoughts are that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Alec Greenspan.
Exactly.
And his buddy Warren Buffett and all of the people like that. Look at their stock. Look at what they have in gold. And you tell me it's still not backed by.
I feel, with the way I think about it, honestly, and whether fiat currency, whether the dollar is backed by gold or not, I really don't trust it. You know, I honestly don't trust it long term. You know, I mean, because I definitely can see that my dollar gets me less now than it did 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're not talking about nothing major, but, you know, just look at gas. Gas in itself. You know what I'm saying? We still got to go the same distances, but that doggone gas ain't ain't never got down back down to that 135 and that 125.
Not yet. Yeah, we down to 185, but that's about it.
There's that, and then it jumped right back up into 230. Right.
So, you know, that brings another concern. You talk about the Riyal over in like Saudi Arabia and places. Is that backed by oil?
Is it? I don't know. That's good. I don't know. That's that. But see,
it's the heaviest stock. I mean, the highest stock is what, you know, you actually insure your money with. You know what I mean? You try to insure whatever, like every bank, they have to have insurance on what they can carry. You know what I mean? FDIC.
They have to have FDIC insurance.
Right. So it's almost like whatever the heaviest stock they invest in covers their insurance policy, which covers whatever their amount they could lose at any given time and still be able to recoup.
But here's the thing, though. here's the problem. That's all that you said is true. However, there's not enough physical cash to cover the deposits that are on record.
I can believe that.
If there was a, and I don't have the article right in front of me, but there's an article that, and I forget the number, but I just, without trying to misquote it, there's not enough money. If everybody right now decided they were going to do a run on the bank,
let's cash out.
The bank would say, no.
Yeah.
No. True. I mean, as a matter of fact, there were some notices going out when all of this happened, you know what I'm saying? There were notices going out from banks saying, don't come over here and take all your money out. You know, I'm going to just paraphrase it because I don't remember what they said, but they said, don't come over here. There's limitations. You can.
Yeah.
Then there was an article that came out and I retweeted it way back then that there's just not even enough. Because somebody did a chart of the money circulating in the system, plus, you know what I'm saying, plus everything that's outstanding. If all of us went to get our money, somebody going to be short.
Right, because so much of it is digital, you know what I mean? It's not even real money yet.
Exactly. So, you know, I mean, and I don't know how it is over there, but over here, some of the places don't even have no cash. Pay a card or use exact change.
Right.
Is what a lot of these stores around here doing.
Right.
You know, so yeah, then that too. So I mean,
have you seen those? You think about that. A lot of places don't have cash, you know, to give, like you're saying. And then I'm seeing so many stores that you would go into saying, due to the shortage of coins, you have to pay the exact amount of whatever your purchase is or use a credit card or debit card, you know, like, wow, what in the world? That's different. You know what I mean? Because the bank is not giving out
as much
as they used to as far as the coins go. You can't go in there with your deposit and say, I want, you know, $2,000 worth of quarters. I want $3,000 worth of dimes. I want, you know what I mean? You can't even go in and do that anymore. The stores don't even have it.
Exactly. Hey, you know, and I said all of that to say that's one of the real reasons why me personally, you know, why I'm into crypto. You know, I've been messing around in this space since May of 2018. I was looking through my notes, which that was like right at the very height of the last. I was on the other side of the top. Mm-hmm. Which I knew it, so that's why I didn't really, you know, why I ain't trying to go big into nothing. You know, I knew we were kind of on our way down. I mean, market running cycles, you know, they go up and they come down. So I knew we were going into the bear market. So, you know, I just kind of sat back until, you know, as I was just kind of kept my eyes peeled. And then next thing you know, because I follow financial news. So next thing you know, articles are popping up in my feed. You know, the Fed is injecting all of this money into Wall Street. You know, if you're not really following financial news, you ain't gonna, it'll just flow back. and mainstream wasn't covering it. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. And most people don't understand what it is. Mm-hmm. And they do that on purpose. You know what I'm saying? Most people really just don't understand that at the end of the day, think of a child that keeps running up their credit card and come back to you to pay it off.
Yeah, true.
That's what these companies are. They they're running up their debt. Federal Reserve, you know what's going to happen if I fall apart. I mean, I'm too big to fail.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to give me $200 billion.
Yeah, exactly. Amazing how money can just pop up, right?
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. That's another one of my points, you know, in doing this whole crypto thing. And I know that there's other people out there that think like I do, you know, and I'm not trying to convince nobody. I mean, one of my hashtags on Twitter, Too Rich to Miss on Twitter, is I'm not trying to convince you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, the information is there. You do with it what you want to do with it.
Yeah, exactly. Research it yourself, you know?
And that's and that's the whole point of DYOR. Do your own research.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of people out here that's, you know, there's just a lot of bullshitters out here. You know, and there's a lot of people running game. And I want my content to at least have that flavor of, you know, it is what it is.
This is my opinion. Yeah, this is my opinion. You know what I mean? Follow me if you want, but don't look at me as I'm the one who, you know what I mean, told you to ultimately make that decision that you made. You know what I mean? You still
exactly.
Big boy pants on and you did it yourself, right?
Exactly. I mean, you know, because there are people out there who get paid to talk about certain coins and all of that.
Yeah.
But once again, it's just the point of, you still got to do your own research. I mean, if the coin just so happened to pump, if they're trying to dump the coin on you, then you need to do your own research before you buy it.
Yeah,
just absolutely. Like a stock. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with a stock. If somebody's trying to boost the stock and they trying to dump it on you, I mean, you got to research to make sure that stock is right.
Exactly.
You know what I'm
saying? Ball is in your court. Ball is in your court at that point, yeah?
Oh,
but right. Quick question on that too. I'm thinking about national currencies in general. You know, the dollar, the real, the narrow money, and you know what I mean. All pesos, all of these different, you know, currencies that show up nationally. I'm still looking at eventually the world currency taking over all of it. You know what I mean? At one time and place, I think one money system worldwide is going to prevail. You know what I mean? What do you say? What do you think about that?
I think it's going to be, I used to think that, you know, and then as time, and now as time has gone on and I really kind of dug into this whole crypto thing and then really, you know, kind of looking at the complexity of the current financial system, you know, and how it's complex on purpose, and it's designed the way it's designed on purpose to keep a certain group. And this ain't even black and white, honestly. There's the 1%. And then there's everybody else.
True.
I mean, now, of course.
It's just reality, right.
Now, to all of the conscious people out there, yes, black people get the short end of the stick 99% of the time. I agree. Mm-hmm. You know, but when it come right down to it, there's the 1%. And there's everybody else. it's saying that, and I think the 1% definitely, the 1% being the 1% of people that control the wealth of the world, by the way, for those other people who might not know. I think the 1% will do what's necessary to have control. You know what I'm saying? So one world currency, I don't know if that'll work because China is going to always going to want to be the top dog. Russia is going to always want to be the top dog. And then we, the U.S., going to always want to be the top dog. So it's always going to eventually be one of us three saying, okay, well, mine should be the one. And then Russia will be like, no, mine should be the one. And China going to be like, well, no, mine should be the one. I mean, you know what
I'm saying? Right. And I don't think it'll be either one of ours or anybody's, you know what I mean? I'm still looking at it being just one that prevails that will not be attached to any country right now, but one that will benefit every country. You know what I mean? The speed of transactions. See, I'm looking at China loves to buy us. We love to buy China.
Yep.
Eventually, the speed of transactions is going to really mean a lot. Just like what we were talking about. This is what we were talking about in mortgages. Those speed of transactions is going to mean a lot. And in order to do it, you need a system that's heavily supported by every nation.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's the reason why they have UN meetings and all of that stuff. People are they're meeting
for
you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I mean,
they're really trying to combine it on a world stage instead of having so much, you know, separatism. Everything is so separate over here, you know. Now, I think it's going to change one day.
I do agree with that point. With that point, you know, I definitely agree that there will be something that kind of, I definitely feel like there's going to be some technological advances that allow the interoperability, you know what I'm saying, of the currency so that they will function seamlessly, you know, but it's with the type of egotistical people that I see in our political arena, versus all of these other countries, it'll be hard for me to see any of the superpowers of the world conceding and saying, you know what, okay, we'll take this part of yours and we're going to play nice and be like, no, Russia want to be to say, no, it's mine.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's going to show their selfishness. Yeah, I believe that.
And the U.S. going to be to say, U.S. want to say, no, we did.
Right.
But can you imagine
the company that comes in and convinces all of them to take part in this? Can you imagine what that company would be worth?
But I'm gonna tell you but here's what honestly I think is gonna really be cryptocurrency. You know, because of its decentralized nature and because it literally is in theory not connected to nobody.
Exactly.
No, there's no central. I mean, cause like that's why I said right now with cryptocurrency, it's like dial-up internet right now. We could back then. I mean, of course, you know, a couple of us, you know, we're visionaries. We think beyond what most people don't do. You know what I'm saying? The average person has no idea, can't even fathom what this industry is going to be later on, because this is a worldwide thing. This is not just limited. You know what I'm saying? Cryptocurrency is not just limited to the U.S. There's an internet connection. You know, you can go to the blockchain. You know, you can download your wallet. You can restore. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You can pull in your wealth. You know what I'm saying? You know, from a cold storage standpoint or from a hot storage standpoint, if you got your stuff stored on a trust wallet in the cloud, on a trust wallet that's a hot wallet, which means it's connected to the internet, and you just got to go somewhere else, and for some reason you can't take none of your electronics because you're leaving the country, going into another country. You know, once you get into the new country, as long as you remember your seed phrase, you know, your 12 words or your 24 words, you just go through and you can get right back online, pull in, go and download the app, restore your stuff, boom.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, when people start to really kind of gather that, wait a minute.
Because, we're talking about, you know, we're doing this digitally, but we're still looking at this, the fact that, you know, how valuable is actually having money on you right now, cash money on you right now. I mean, it's not even that important to have cash money on you like it was back in the day. You know what I mean? Now, transfer here, transfer there, ATM machine, or if you need cash, but everything is all, you know, dumped. You pay your bills. Everybody now paying them online and just dump from your account to the next account. Even doing your, you're doing your investing from your bank account straight into your investment account. You know what I mean? Everything is now a transaction instead of like it used to be cash money deals. You know what I mean? So that's why I say how valuable really is having a $20 bill. You know what I mean? I think the future holds that our great-great-grandkids will look at a $20 bill and say, what the hell is this?
Exactly. Exactly.
What is this?
Look, they're going to be in a museum when it's talking about the evolution of money.
Yeah.
Back
yeah.
in the day, they used to have paper. Look at this. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Oh, they used to have paper. Yeah. Look, it's kind of like we talk about MySpace now. Look, with all of that, the way social media has evolved, we say MySpace.
Here's the worst part of it.
They're going to say $20 paper money.
But look, they're going to be in the strip club hitting transactions while they watch the girl dance.
Yeah, I know, right? I know, right?
Money going into the account.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to be digitally making it rain up in the account.
Hit a button and then the lights just start flashing and he just made a rain.
Exactly. Yeah.
He just transferred $100,000.
Exactly. Oh, man, yeah.
Hey, you know, how about you use that dollar right now, you know? It's something to think about. But.
It is. And, you know, and this is my whole thing, you know, like I said, I understand being a visionary, you know, you see stuff before most people really catch it.
Right.
You know, now is a real good time for anybody with some vision to kind of catch this crypto thing. You know, because like I said,
I agree.
It's inevitable. You know, I mean, and yes, it's the wild, wild west out there right now, which is the whole point of why I'm putting out, you know, content about it, you know, because it is small, you know, I mean, it's still small, it's still growing. There's not a lot of us being black people specifically.
True.
There's not a lot of black people out here talking about it in an intelligent way. Mm-hmm. And there's one black guy out here, Trevon James or something like that. Just for the sake of shouting him out. Trevon something or other. Trevon James or something like that. But anyway, he comes from a comedic standpoint. He's always making jokes in his. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, he actually does put out some real good some good info. He's one of those chart guys. And he'll go through and he's be, you know, pulling up the chart and okay, well, it's this trend because of that, and it's that trend because of that, and this candle is candlesticks and all of that.
Right.
You know, I'm really just trying to, and let me know about something that I haven't heard about, something that I can maybe get in early on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not going down the trading route. You know, a lot of people might want to go down and trade with all of this different leverage and all of this, then the third. And
Right.
I mean, it's like, for example, with trading stocks on margin trading.
Mm-hmm,
you know what I'm saying? Which actually they do leverage trading stocks too.
But
there's some people in all that that's that's not my cup of tea.
Too much. That's why most people use a broker.
Exactly. So
you know,
but from a dollar cost average standpoint, it's some good stuff going on. And we can go on and end this one right quick. So to all of the folks out there listening, be sure to check out all the links in the description below for all of the options for getting into crypto and getting in and not being burned with all of the fees and all that right now. Links for everything is down there. Crypto.com is still doing a special until the end of September, which we're at the recording of this. We are in August. So if you jump on that right now, you can still get those free trading fees, and you can also get $50 free when you use my link in the description below. And all of that helps to support the channel. And be sure to follow me, Too Rich to Miss, on Twitter and on Instagram. And check out the website, www.richardhawks2. And be sure to check out Adrian Scott on his website, www.adrianfscott.com. And be sure to get his new book that's out right now, Meetings on Top of Meetings, on Top of Meetings. That's available on Amazon right now. Link will be in the description below. And we will catch you on the next episode of the Too Rich to Miss podcast. And as always, do your own research.
Yeah.